But we're up to Psalm 127. And we're going to read two psalms this morning. There are some similar thoughts in them, and they're rather short. Lo, children are an heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is his reward. As arrows are in the hand of a mighty man, so are children of the youth. Happy is the man that hath his quiver full of them. They shall not be ashamed, but shall speak with the enemies in the gate. I think just in the setting of when these psalms were written, I think they lived in an agricultural society, right? They would farm, they'd plant their crops, they had their vineyards. And so children were a real blessing. Now, why is that? In that type of society, because they work. They work, right? So the more children you have, the better it is. I have laborers. I have someone who's going to take care of the farm and the crops and expand it. And they're part of the family, and we work together as a family. And so to have children was a blessing from the Lord. It's always interested me that God says that he opens the womb and he gives children. We have our own ideas, I guess, of how many children we'd like to have, and I want to be careful here, but and we think we have to somehow control that, and I'm sure that we do. But it says that God gives children to be a blessing to families. I think that God would like to see more families that are united in serving him. Now, in that society, I said they work together. But in the spiritual sense, don't you think that God would like to see a godly seed in the earth? And children that are brought up to fear the Lord? And in our society, that family unit has been under attack and is under attack. And the enemy has sought to destroy that. How many children these days have only maybe one parent in the home? We have that a lot at Williamsburg. Most of our families, most of our children come from single parent homes. And I don't believe that's what God intended. Blessed is the man that hath his quiver full of them. They shall not be ashamed, but shall speak with the enemies in the gate. Can you see that man coming to the gate of the city, and he had a contention with one of the other members of that city, and he comes with his five sons behind them, right? And they come as a group there to the gate. And they stand with their father. And we too can stand together. Now, how could we apply this to the family of God? Well, God has put us together. And we ought to stand by one another. We ought to pray for one another. We ought to face the enemy together. We ought to work together. We have a little bit of that here at camp. And how blessed that is. And how wonderful that God has put us together into the family of God. We ought to value one another. There was one other thought here I just wanted to consider with you. In the 128th Psalm, it says, blessed is everyone that fears the Lord, that walks in his ways. And then verse 4, behold, that thus shall the man be blessed that feareth the Lord. Now, what does it mean to fear the Lord? We often stop and consider that, don't we? Because fear to us is something that we don't necessarily like. Fear is a bad thing, right? I mean, generally, we shouldn't be afraid. You know, fear is not a good thing. So how do we reconcile this? What is the Bible teaching us here when it says we ought to fear the Lord? Is it maybe we just don't understand the word, the definition of it? Okay, there's a sense of honor or respect and honor with the thought to obey. To obey. Do you understand that, Tevin? When the Bible talks about fearing the Lord, it means that we ought to respect our God. We ought to. He's not the man upstairs. You know, he's not that the guy in the sky.
And it's a loving and joyful obedience.
Right, there's a loving and joyful obedience. It's not something, again, that I cringe and I'm afraid that if I don't do what he says, he's going to hit me with that big stick. I've told you I have friends and fellow employees at work and who have been raised in the Catholic Church, and one of the things I hear, and one of the maybe excuses why they don't go to church now that they've grown up, is we were always taught that God was going to, you know, get us, hit us with a big stick, or, you know, punish us. He was looking for us to make a mistake so he could punish us. And I'm not sure that that's the teaching of the church, but that was the perception that some people had or have of God. And we too want to be careful, you know. There's that big eye that's watching us. I'm glad that Mom said she's watching us even if to see if we do good also. But, you know, sometimes we teach our children, God is watching you. You better not do anything bad. Mm-hmm. You know, and that's true. But I don't know if that really captures the essence of the fear of the Lord. Okay, so we've gotten part of it. It's a respect. We honor. We obey. We do it in love and joyfully. Is there anything else in the fear of the Lord?
Acknowledge.
We acknowledge who He is and who we are. You know, it has to do with, again, we had looked at that perspective in one of these Psalms where, you know, we're not God. God is God. He is our Maker. How many times we read that? He is the Creator of what? Heaven and earth. He's the Creator. He's over all. He's the ruler. And so we have to understand our place. And so we submit. This is another good word for, I think we submit to His authority. We submit to His authority. I wrote down a few things in. I have here worshipful submission. Worshipful submission is part of the fear of the Lord. You can write that down in your books if you'd like. Worshipful submission. And then what else do you have? Here's another one. Reverential awe. That's tough. Reverential awe. All right? And then obedient respect. Worshipful submission, reverential awe, obedient respect. Why is it when we come into this room or into our churches do we try to walk carefully? What do we call that? We say, I tell our children, we want you to be what? Reverent, right? Be reverent. Be reverent. This isn't just an ordinary building or a place. We come in to God's presence with reverential awe. God is awesome. I heard a preacher not too long ago, and he was saying, in his house, he doesn't let his kids say the word awesome. He says, because only God is awesome. And we use that word too much. Awesome. Oh, that's awesome. Awesome, dude. Say that? No, only God is awesome. And so we have that reverence for Him and respect. And so, blessed is the man, happy is the man, eternally happy is the man who fears the Lord, who walk in His ways. Who walk in His ways. Now, I mean, that's a whole other sermon in itself. What are God's ways? How do we walk in His ways? What are some of His ways? Obedience is one of God's ways. Trust and obey, for there's no other way. That's one of God's ways. Praise is one of God's ways. He's taught us to praise Him. Praise makes a way for God to come to us, brings us into His presence, focuses our attention on God. It's one of His ways. Prayer is one of God's ways. Men ought always to pray. The Lord Jesus taught His disciples to pray. It's one of His ways. That's how we approach God. That's how He has arranged it. And you can go on and consider those things as revealed in the Bible. And so we walk in His ways. He's revealed His will and His way and His word. That's why He's given us this book. That's why we need to open it. And behold, that thus shall the man be blessed that feareth the Lord. The Lord shall bless thee out of Zion. It speaks of where our blessings come from. It comes right from His throne. Isn't it wonderful when we look up to our God that He pours out blessings into our lives? And they come from above. They proceed from His throne. And it seems here that another blessing He gives to those who love Him is long life. Now that's not extended to all, but how blessed it is when God gives us the days to see our children's children. To see them walking in the Lord, in the ways of the Lord. Did you want to say something, Mom?
Yeah, I look at these psalms in more or less a more practical way. We've been talking about being a pilgrim on a journey, right? And these are the psalms that they sang as they were going up to the three feasts every year, right? And isn't it strange that He puts in about the wives and children and how we ought to behave one to another? And I'd like to tell you young people, you're on a journey through life, right? You are most of you are at the beginning. I'm at the end, all right? On your journey somewhere, you're going to make a decision to marry somebody, right? Yes or no?
Yes.
That's normal. I mean, this is the way the world goes. Somewhere on your journey, you're going to make a choice as to who you're going to live with the rest of your life. I've been living with my husband, how many years? Shall I tell you?
Yes.
60.
Praise God.
60 years. You think I've had a good life?
Yes.
You think I've made a good choice? Yes or no?
Yes.
I mean, from what you hear of him. You think he's all right?
Yes.
Yeah. And we've had a happy home because I found a Christian. I'd like to advise you, don't marry someone who is not a pilgrim.
Amen.
Okay? Because you're going to have problems. And that's going to be your choice. Some of you come from broken homes, and you know what that's like. No father, no mother. Everybody's fighting. Everybody eats at a different time. We have a family in our church who the mother cooks a big pot of rice. And whenever you want to eat, you can come and sit at the table and eat by yourself, help yourself, enjoy your meal. There's no family life. Do you understand that?
Mm-hmm.
So the children are round about the table. Maybe your life hasn't been so pleasant as a boy or as a girl in growing up, but you have a choice to make on your pilgrim journey. And if you haven't been satisfied with the home that you've been born into, they're not Christians. They don't love the Lord. They don't fear the Lord. They don't read the Bible. Well, it's up to you as you grow up to make a right choice. And God's going to help you. And if you don't make the right choice, you're going to be miserable. Children are a heritage of the Lord. Children are a blessing. My husband comes from a family of 8 boys. Would you like to live in a family with 8 boys? That's 10 people around your table every day, Mom. Cooking for 10 people. What a job. And one of the rules around his table was no talking. No talking while you're eating. 10 people talking at once, you know what it is up at the dining room? When you get five of you fellas around the table? Wow, that dining room buzzes. Imagine 10. But you know what that mother did? His father was a pastor. Every morning, she said, at 6 o'clock in the morning, she went down to the furnace room. That was the warmest place in the house at 6 o'clock. And she prayed for her 8 boys. You have a mother like that? She prayed for her 8 boys. And you know how many of them turned to be a minister? I think 5. 5 of those 8 boys serve as ministers during their life. Did it pay? It did. I'm thankful that my parents were saved. You heard me the other day at the age of 5. I'm thankful I was brought up in a Christian home. There was peace in our home. There was joy in our home. There was love. There was cooperation. And so when I married my husband, the same thing happened in our home. Our home has always been peaceful. No fighting, no shouting at one another, no jealousy. And you know what a rule at our table was? You know what he said? When we got together? If you can't say something nice about somebody, don't say it. You know, when you get around the table, you talk about what happened during the day, where you went, what happened at school. And he said, no talking about anybody if it's not good. We don't want to hear it. And we heard that before. Our thoughts, our words. And so my advice to you young people, marry a Christian pilgrim, all right? And your journey through life will be blessed. And then the last verse says, you're going to see your children's children. And I can say, I've seen my children's children and children. Children, grandchildren, great-grandchildren. The Lord has blessed us with long life. And you know what? In the kitchen, this week, 3 of my grandchildren are serving you. Do you trust them? Valerie, Lisa, and Jonathan are my 3 grandchildren. How come they are here today as Christians? Because my daughters brought up their children in a Christian home. And this is the fruit of having a happy home. So maybe 10 years from now, all of you will be married. Maybe? Yeah? And you'll have children? I'll be here then to see that, but I wish God's blessing upon each one of you. Ask God to direct you to the right person. Because you're going to journey with them all your life. Or else if you don't, you're going to split up and have an unhappy life. So you have the choice. And I think there are people behind me could say amen to what I'm saying, right?
Amen. Amen.
Some of them have made good choices and some have made bad choices in their marriage.
And some are still
waiting. They're suffering. They're suffering for them. But you have a choice to make. And I pray, God, that you will make the right choice. Because this is part of our journey. That's why these psalms are put right here. Part of our pilgrim journey. So I wish you well, each one of you. Get a good mate. And bear children for God's glory. God's glory. God needs children. God needs people to serve him in the next generation.